numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're serious about winning this football season, the VSiN NFL betting guide is your first real edge, coming out this Tuesday, July 1st, 4 days away. It's packed with in-depth previews of all 32 teams, season win total breakdowns, best bets from trusted VSiN experts, player props, betting projections, everything you need to bet smarter all season long. Kick off your season with confidence, get full access to every VSiN betting guide, daily best bet emails, and exclusive content through the Super Bowl, all for just $175 United States dollars. Your smartest NFL season bet starts now at VSiN.com/subscribe. I didn't even look at tweets yet.
I'm going to need till Fezzik Friday to recover from this, the Grigor Dimitrov news that I heard last segment. I already thought Grigor was cool, and now like my mind has just was blown.
Not even mention Fezzik? Fezzik's on the show, of course.
Yeah.
I think I failed to mention Fezzik. Fezzik's on for three segments next hour.
With maybe my favorite topic he's ever texted us that he wants to discuss before.
He wants to talk about, he has a shaving tip. By the way, I don't think his shaving tip, I caught wind of what his shaving tip
that
is.
That it's like not all
that
secretive?
I don't think it's that spectacular. I think every human being knows the shaving tip.
So too.
And Fezzik is like, I've got a great idea. We'll get to that and more. And everything on his mind in sports betting. And he has a lot on his mind sports betting wise. NFL teasers he wants to touch on. He's on a baseball heater. He wants to get into that. He's got plays in baseball.
He's going to single-handedly pull me back into betting CFL. I know that.
Does he have any CFL picks?
He's had a couple, yeah.
On today's show, though.
I don't know about today's show.
Yeah, so he's got a lot on his mind. We'll get to Steve Fezzik coming up. Let's talk soccer in the meantime and maybe get some football thoughts, domestic football, that is. From our buddy Paul Carr, who joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line from the heartland, Topeka, Kansas. What up, Paul? How are you, man?
Hello. I've traveled west a little bit. I'm in Denver. Did a U.S. women's soccer game last night, so got a little more altitude, a little thinner air, but we're cooking.
What about the elevation in addition to the altitude, Paul? Is it elevation or is it altitude? Just curious.
Same thing, right? There's probably some technical difference.
Don't do it, Paul. Don't do it. We can't go down this discourse again. Never mind.
You don't want to do this.
Forget I said anything.
It was the greatest argument in the history of primetime action.
Yeah, that's right. Paul, by the way, working at True Media Networks, that's why he peddles analytics around to, I shouldn't say he used the word peddles. He's always promoting analytics and trying to get different sports leagues and sports teams into analytics. They have services on that. He's also the host of the Expected Value podcast and worked for many years at ESPN. What capacity now are you where you are in?
Yeah, so for these U.S. games with TNT, and I do the guy in the booth next to the announcer and write notes on cards. Things happen. Hey, it's the first time, you know, she scored two goals in a game since whenever, et cetera, et cetera. So keep the show going.
Do you care to share with us who the kindest and the least kind announcers are that you've ever worked with?
I will tell you. So JP Della Camera has been doing soccer since like literally the 80s, and he did the game last night. He's one of the best play-by-play guys to work with. He did some hockey back in the day, but soccer is really where he's made his bones, and he's as good to work with as anybody.
As good to work with anybody. That's always good to hear. Before we get into Club World Cup and Gold Cup and all of that, you are a Miami Dolphins fan. Well, you're a couple things. You're a Kansas City Royals fan. You're a Miami Dolphins fan. I'm interested in, because we have Jordan Sherwood coming up, who's doing UFC. I'm going to ask him. He's a Chicago Bears fan. I'm curious where he thinks the Bears end up in the NFC North. What is your take on it? If the Bills are first, which I'm going to guess you believe as well, where do the Dolphins fall this year?
I would like to think that they're second. I know the Patriots are going to get a lot of hype because they were, you know, not terrible last year, and they think they'll be better. I mean, the Dolphins, it's almost as simple as, like, is Tua going to be healthy? Is the offensive line going to hold together? You know, they've made some potential upgrades, both through the draft free agency to try and make that better. If that's better and Tua, if you told me Tua plays 16 games, then I feel really good about the Dolphins being the second best team in the division. But I feel like that's a coin flip at best.
Yeah, I have the Dolphins. I'm not going to give away what one of my bets was in the NFL betting guide coming out in 4 days, but it involves the Dolphins. And my last line was, don't let me down, Tua.
I know there's someone in that guide that has them making the playoffs.
Oh.
Someone.
Yeah,
someone.
That'll be a fringy playoff
look
team.
Like you?
He looks exactly like me. Right. I'm with Paul. I've been sitting here all offseason I think Paul just laid it out perfectly, but I've been sitting here all offseason where all of a sudden we went from a year ago thinking this Dolphins team could have this super huge upside to, oh no, they're complete crap, which I don't really understand, and the Patriots are amazing all of a sudden. I'm not on board with that.
Amazing all of a sudden. That's so true.
I'm not on board with all that yet.
Anecdotally, it's one of the biggest hype trains this offseason. We shall see. Okay, let's go to the FIFA Club World Cup. True story, Kelly and I walked out of here one day. This is a true story. You'll verify this.
Oh, God, I thought I was going to make so much money off Kelly.
I say to Kelly Bidlin, see that game right up there? Because there's always, this feels like it's random times for these Club World Cup games. And they always put up a three-letter...
Tricode, that's what we call it.
Abbreviation of some kind for each of these clubs. And I said to Kelly, I go, Kelly, $1,000 if you can name both of these clubs just based on those two. Based on those two things. And Kelly thought I was going to stop at the one, and he just felt $1,000 coming his way, but he could not name number two.
Paul, at first he said if you could name one of these clubs, and then right away he corrected himself, both of these clubs, and it was Man City. It was Man City was one of them, and then I had no idea who they were playing.
Paul, if you name both of these clubs, and I'll spot you Man City.
You didn't get Al Ain.
Yeah, I mean, it was someone like that, yeah.
How are you doing in this, by the way?
I'm being very cautious. I'm not going crazy on this, especially just we talked about it earlier. It's the nature of A, a tournament, and B, these clubs being at so many different stages of their seasons, dealing with the heat and all these things. So I think I haven't totaled it up, but I'm probably either up a little or down a little. I haven't made a whole lot of plays on this one yet.
Okay, but your South America call, South America team to win, is still looking pretty good?
We got a shot. We have three Brazilian teams all in one half of the bracket. We're in the round of 16 now, and two of them play each other, which is, you know, for better and worse. So yes, there's a decent shot of one getting through. The other one, there's a couple others, you know, one other in the other half of the bracket, but they're playing Bayern and then PSG potentially, and then Real Madrid potentially. So that'd be a tough shot. But yeah, for a, what was it, 8-1, 9-1 shot before the tournament, I still feel pretty good about it.
Okay. And you do have a bet here in the FIFA Club World Cup.
Yeah, I'm taking one of these Brazilian teams. I'm taking Flamengo to advance. Again, we're at the knockout stage of the tournaments. This is just to go through. Plus 235 against Bayern. Bayern's obviously a heavy favorite, one of the better European teams, etc. They won their first game 10-0 against Auckland City, but Auckland City is like literally everybody there still has regular jobs type of club. And Bayern wasn't very impressive in the other two games, and Flamengo was. They came from behind to beat Chelsea. I think this is a pretty good price. And it also gets to what I think is one of the big picture stories of the tournament so far, which is just the heat. You know, it's been, I mean, really hot even for North America so far. And these European teams in particular have been struggling. I mean, Bayern, Dortmund, a couple other teams, I think, like their bench guys are usually, you know, on the bench watching the game, went back inside to watch the game at times. And this is when it was like 87 in some of these places. So I think the South American teams will continue to handle the heat better, which is something to watch not only in this tournament, but also in the World Cup next year.
Okay. Let's go to the Gold Cup. When Mexico plays Saudi Arabia, throw out the records, heated rivalry. You have a total play
in
this.
I do. Mexico's never lost to Saudi Arabia, as you know. But neither one of these teams was very good offensively in the group stage. Mexico got 5 goals, but 4 of them came from set pieces. And they're not clicking. They're still trying to figure things out under a newer manager about how to run their attack. They've tried a few different options so far. None of them have really worked very well. And Saudi Arabia seems to have no interest in scoring, especially against the U.S., the best team they played in the group stage. They were content to try to scratch out a 0-0 draw. Didn't quite work, and they lost 1-0. So I think this game will look a lot like that U.S. game, where Saudi Arabia is just going to lock things down. If you told them they could get to penalties, they'd be ecstatic right off the bat. So I have under 2.5 in this game at -130. And again, remember, this is a 90-minute regulation bet. So it goes to extra time and goes over. You're still winning. Under 2.5, -130.
Okay. And you have a play on a side to win the Gold Cup at 8-1 odds. And the reason that this is fascinating to us is because we had Dallin Cuff on from ESPN yesterday, and he landed.
Uh-oh.
Well, he gave out two sides, and one of them was this very one. And it is?
It's Panama at 8-1. And I mean, if I were to boil it down super simply, Panama is the best team in the group stage, and they're the fourth favorite at 8-1, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense because they're likely to run into Mexico in the semifinals, and then they would play presumably the U.S. or Canada in the final. But they've been the best team, you know, they were in control of all three games, and they're kind of the always a bridesmaid, never a bride team of CONCACAF the last few years. Lost to Mexico in the Gold Cup final a couple years ago, lost to them in Nations League final this year. So they've made, I think, four semis in the last three, 4 years, but haven't gotten over that hump. And even though they don't have their best player and a couple others, they've looked as good and better than everybody else. So 8-1, I think, is a pretty good price on the best team so far in the tournament.
Kelly, is Wayne Brady going to have to bet himself some Panama?
I like it.
Yeah. Might have a Gold Cup play come Panama, 8-1, with a very simple handicap. They've been the best team in the group stage. I like a handicap like that. Paul, appreciate it very much. We'll talk between now and football season, but I'm sending the Dolphins good vibes, sir. I hope it works out.
Just send him a big bubble to keep two in.
first and foremost, both serious and both a serious comment as well on Tua. Thank you, Paul. Yep. Appreciate it, man. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr, PaulCarr. The big giveaway for a free Circa Millions and Survivor entry next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want a bit smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out Tuesday, July 1st. Early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. As every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price, the sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You'll be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. You know, we do the reads, and we don't really stop down and truly say sincerely how great of a betting guide this is. All the folks, Matt Humans, Adam Burke, Zach Cohen, everybody, Wes Reynolds, everybody who does such great work on all of the betting guides, no matter the sport. This one is the granddaddy of them all, pro football.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Cohen deserves tons of credit.
Yeah, absolutely.
One.
Adam Burke, writing from multiple different countries across Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, oh gosh, we've had, it's not even July yet, and every on-air person on VSiN involved made Gil do homework already.
Imagine. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Eddie Vegan Runner, did you know that the U2 song Elevation was originally going to be titled Altitude? Makes sense. Then they listen to this show. John Yu at C2C Hoops. On May 16th on your show, when the Orioles were 15-27, Fezzik gave out the Orioles under 73.5 wins. Since then, they're 19-19. Have the O's turned it around? Number today is again 73.5. Does Fez still like that under better? Is he considering buying off it? We shall ask him when he comes on here momentarily. Buddhist man can't believe that we didn't use your world famous AFC bucket hat to get the call for today's contest drawing.
Buddhist man, as I've told you, I at least once a week I see that thing in my closet and I chuckle because it was just a great gift, and I just wonder, when am I ever going to have an opportunity to wear it?
Yeah. Hoops by Hoots, Gil and Kelly much more upfront on their drawing process than the NBA draft is, but how do we know Kelly didn't freeze the paper slips that he wanted to draw? That's a good point. Good point.
Here's how you know. I would have frozen something that was a last name that was easier to pronounce.
And by the way, we are way more open with that drawing process than the NBA lottery is, that's for sure. Fred Currier, Judge Kelly with the official ruling on the giveaway contest. And J&J Watering Hole, LFG, I'm Jess and can't wait. Can you please give me a couple weeks to make the name change official through the courts? Congrats to the real winners. Good for you, J&J. Congrats to the real winners from other listeners. Let's talk some UFC 317. Jordan Sherwood joins us right now. Always a pleasure to have Jordan in. He, of course, the co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast for ESPN Chicago. You can follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. What's happening, Jordan? Been a long time, man.
Yeah, been a long time. Everything is good. I know it's a big fight night when I get the text or the call from Kelly midweek and said, hey, can you jump on for a couple minutes, talk some fights? So, yeah, happy to talk about what's going to happen tomorrow night in the Octagon.
All right, just because I have to pay off this tease, I asked Paul Carr about his Dolphins fanhood. Real quick, you on the Bears, are they anything better than last place in the NFC North this year?
I think so. There's the Ben Johnson effect for sure. And a lot of people believe Minnesota is going to take a step back. They won't be the same team with J.J. McCarthy at the helm. So, yes, they will not be the last place team. They will not be the cellar dwellers in the NFC North this season.
There it is.
Boom.
Don't even have to watch the season. They will not be last place. Okay, you just alluded to it. So UFC 317, we walked in here. I walked in. The very first thing that Dave Ross, who's a big UFC guy, obviously, does UFC shows for us in addition to buy the books. First thing he said, he goes, great UFC card. To your vantage point, you agree with that? Really great one?
Yeah, I think so. You know, having a headliner of two title fights, a guy who's at on the marquee, Ilia Topuria, you know, he's one of the best fighters we have currently in the sport. He's vying for a two-divisional championship, going up to lightweight to take on the former champion in Charles Oliveira because the belt is vacant. And he's expected to win. You see those odds right there displayed. I mean, he's nearly a $5 favorite against a guy in Charles Oliveira that's a future Hall of Famer. He holds the record for most UFC post-fight finishes and bonuses, and a guy that's extremely difficult to deal with, whether it be on the ground or on the feet. But I think the feet is where Topuria is going to have the advantage in that fight. In his previous, several of his previous fights, Oliveira has been dropped early in fights, and then has to utilize his toughness and his black belt his off of his back to get back into fights. I don't think he's going to have that luxury against Topuria, guy that's he knocked out Alexander Volkanovski, he knocked out Max Holloway, who's never been stopped in his last two fights. And I do believe Ilia Topuria carries that power up to lightweight. So to get that price down, I actually like Ilia Topuria to win the fight via TKO KO. And I've seen it everywhere from $1.50 to $1.70. That's where I would invest if you're going to look to play the main event tomorrow night. I just don't think Charles Oliveira is going to have the chin to be able to survive the left or right hand of Ilia Topuria.
Yeah, so Topuria, by the way, if you were just betting the side, a prohibitive favorite, -455. So Jordan's saying bet Topuria by knockout. Oliveira, a great grappler, but what you're saying is the ability to get to withstand the punches from Topuria and get Topuria on the ground, that's a whole nother story. Not going to happen, in your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously going up in weight, Oliveira is going to be the bigger fighter. He's going to have the reach advantage. We did see Ilia Topuria fight one time before at lightweight. He did get dropped in that fight by Jay Herbert from a head kick. And don't get me wrong, like, Charles Oliveira is a extremely talented fighter. The problem is that he eats a lot of damage and he does get dropped in a lot of fights. In fact, when he was going on that run to win the lightweight championship against guys like Justin Gaethje, Dustin Poirier, and Michael Chandler, like, he gets dropped in all those fights. I just don't think he's going to be able to do that against Ilia Topuria, which is why I like that price point at $1.50, $1.70 to win by KO, TKO.
Okay, fight preceding that is a title fight. You have a parlay that involves Topuria and who you think is going to win this one. Alejandro Pantoja against Kai Kara-France. Pantoja is a -238 favorite. This is a little different than the fight we just described, which is both are good on their feet, but only one good on the ground, correct?
Yeah, the one good on the ground is the defending champion, Alexander Pantoja. I think this is his division. You alluded to it, Gil. Like, he is extremely talented on the feet. I think he's one of the best back takers and submission artists and grapplers we have, not only in the flyweight division, in the sport. I do think Kai Kara-France is talented. But I think when you're handicapping this fight, it's a puncher's chance. Like, he does have knockout power. He's probably the most powerful striker in the 125-pound division. And people that are fading Pantoja and picking Kai Kara-France are looking at Pantoja, who does eat a lot of punches. You know, he got pieced up a little bit in a previous fight against Steve Urseg. But I just think that is the only way that Kai Kara-France is able to win this fight. And I do expect Pantoja at some point to get this fight to the ground, take the back and submit Kai Kara-France. And we've seen Kara-France submitted before. And look, he's got good takedown defense. The percentages say he's at like an 83-84% takedown defense. But I think those numbers are skewed because of the opponents he's fought, not to the level of Pantoja. So a couple of things. On that parlay, I like coupling Pantoja to win the fight straight up with that knockout prop that I mentioned for Topuria. So you combine those and you get it about a +30, +135. For a two-fight parlay. But I also like a little sprinkle on Alexander Pantoja to win via submission, and that's anywhere from +230 to +260. I think at some point he can take the back and choke out Kai Kara-France. He's got 5 rounds to do it. So those would be the two recommended plays I have for the co-main event.
Okay, let's clarify that again. So Topuria by KO straight, then Topuria KO with the Pandoja win on a moneyline parlay, and then Pandoja by submission, also a bet from Jordan. Yep. Fight before those two is one of the more closely lined fights. I guess the only one that's closer lined is the Dariush Moicano fight before that. But this is Brandon Royval as a slight dog here, and you like him.
I do. I like Brandon Royval just because of the experience he has. He's been in title fights. He only loses to champions or former champions. Everyone else, he gets through. He's very difficult to deal with because he's a little bit of a wild man out there, but he's tremendous with his scrambles. He scraps. He's got great cardio. And Joshua Van is a talented fighter. He's going to try and set the record for most fights in a calendar year, but he's only 22. He's taking this fight on short notice, and he has never fought anybody near the top 5, top 7, 8 of the flyweight division. And though I do believe Joshua Van is a future title challenger, maybe even a future champion, kind of similar to a Max Holloway when he first burst onto the scene, I just don't think taking this fight on short notice, he's going to be able to deal with the scrambles, the pace, and the variety of fighting that Brandon Royval is going to bring. So I'm surprised, actually, that Joshua Van is still hanging on as a favorite in this fight. So I'm grabbing Royval at plus money. Even if he's $1.10 come fight night, I still like him. I just think that there's levels to this, and Joshua Van is not there yet. He will be eventually, but this is too much too soon for a fight against Brandon Royval.
All right, and we got to run, but Jack Hermanson as a prelim dog, big dog, yes?
Yeah, plus 195. So that price is going up. I think people are fading him, but he's been out because of injury. His pace, his footwork, it'll be a very boring fight,
okay.
But I like Jack Hermanson to win against RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez on the main fight of the prelims.
Thank you, Jordan.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, that's Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hey,
producer number 9, so much more than a producer. Jim Feist loves that tagline, by the way. He's your buddy. He loves you. Jim Feist
Shout
loves
out,
you.
Jim.
Jim Feist loves you, man. Thank you to Jim Feist for having us all on his show this past year. Steve Fezzik standing by to talk about all things on the mind of Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest.
If you're nearby, he's just currently standing in the sports book analyzing women's tennis plays. So,
is he?
Yeah.
He was
explaining to me how the ladies' side can screw up these lob shots so much more often than the men's side.
Oh, he's a big time tennis player.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was really going into the X's and O's.
We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Jay Buckley, it was a pleasure meeting Jay this week. Jay was in town, a listener of not only this show, but the whole network. He says, Gil, thanks again for taking the time to chat when we were there. The Buckleys love ANG. He and his wife couldn't have been nicer. Always a pleasure to meet with folks. And Jay was as nice as they come. Jason H11, the only hat that should be allowed on ANG. And there's a great picture of you in the bucket hat. We should really throw that up on the screen because you look fantastic. Mike Alvarez, let those young tennis players know. He said, we're talking about Dimitrov and his girlfriend. He said, let those young tennis players know women weaken legs, he said. Oh, wow. And Big Kahuna says, your pronunciation on these MMA names and tennis names is all world. Why, thank you. It's very nice of you.
Gil does his homework for UFC. His homework for UFC.
Dude, I absolutely have to.
Yeah, it's...
Because otherwise...
You do a good job with it. Man.
Otherwise,
you really
it's, a,
do.
It's a botch fest otherwise.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Or do we very much appreciate our guests like Jordan Sherwood and Paul Carr, who are always there to help us out when we need? Yes.
By the way, I messed up the last one. Apparently, it's Hermanson. Let's not think I got unscathed.
But I didn't want to. I knew we had picks to get to with Jordan.
Yeah.
But the one thing I did want to ask Brandon Royval, I feel like I bet. Like I just did that elbow thing, by the way. The elbow slips off.
Uh-huh.
Brandon Royval, if by my memory, I bet on him and he fought roughly 18 times during the pandemic. That's
there was like, there was a couple fights.
There was a
like
couple
that.
Of those. Yeah.
That Brazilian dude named Gil.
Yeah.
Gil Burns was it? Or Gil.
Gilbert Burns is a big fighter.
Gilbert Burns fought, like, it felt like five times during the pandemic.
Moreno's back there, yeah.
Moreno just said Gilbert Burns.
Did he fight a bunch during the pandemic?
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, maybe at least twice anyway. I don't know. That's how I remember it. Remember, it was the only thing going on.
It was the only thing going on.
That and table tennis.
So we all became like huge UFC fans.
We were all such experts. By the way, before we get to some of this other stuff, because we want to talk NBA Rookie of the Year real quick, and the Indianapolis Colts quarterback market is pretty fascinating. But I am taking a glance. Thank you for letting me know. The gentleman who let me know on Twitter, forgive me for not remembering your name, but I mentioned you earlier. They do have women's quarters at DraftKings up. And I have to tell you, man, like, in some respects, I was just mentioning this with Alexander Bublik in one of the quarters on the men's side, how I thought, oh, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to get a great price. And it wasn't a great price. They've gotten really sharper with some of this stuff. I'll get to the one that I'm talking about. But quarter one, Aryna Sabalenka is a plus 150 short shot. I would not bet her. Her grass court numbers are not great historically. Maddie Keys is 3-1. Your girl Marketa Vondrousova with the tattoos is 7-1. Those are pretty. And by the way, Elise Mertens, also great grass court numbers, 12-1. Donna Vekic, 14-1. Vekic is not in form, though. Keys, Vondrousova, Mertens, pretty darn interesting. Q2 is where I'm like, man, they really get it now. Amanda Anisimova is the short shot. I was all ready to, like, get into that and say, oh, hey, maybe Anisimova's going to have value. I have her as, like, the sixth best grass court numbers last 2 years. She's plus 370. Paolini's 5-1. This is an example of, like, oh, man, no value where I thought there might be.
Right.
Q3, Andreeva plus 210. By the way, Andreeva's grass court numbers are terrible. Pagula's plus 425, Alexandrova's plus 425. There's going to be some rando winning this one.
Trying to look at
the problem is that I couldn't tell you who it is. I think Pagula's so consistent, plus 425. Maybe it's her in the end. But Alexandrova's another player. I'm like, oh, surely they'll give me a great price on Alexandrova. Nope, they're onto it.
Hey, this is from your friend, not your producer.
Yeah.
Check stations before you make any bets today.
Thank you, friend. Thank you, friend.
They don't have quarters.
And by the way, Q4, just to wrap it up, Rybakina plus 240, Goff plus 240, Iga Grass Tech 3-1. Man, I hope she wins this tournament.
MGM does. They have quarters up. Stations does not yet.
Okay. I saw men's at MGM before the show. I did not see women's. That's why.
I mean, how many times? It's been two or three tournaments. I mean, you have sat here and, like, those station numbers are so much better.
And they'll take a bet on the app. They will not at the counter.
Yeah, that's always fun. Hey, you know what? I'd rather have that.
No, I'm not complaining.
Then Caesars reeling me in. $30, Kelly, on the app. But come on down and pay $25. A park will give you anything at the counter.
You wanted to talk about this again, NBA Rookie of the Year, where Cooper Flagg is minus 185. Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, the two Rutgers teammates, are next, 9-1 and plus 950, respectively. And we don't even know if Ace Bailey's going to show up in Utah or not. And then Trey Johnson leads the double-digit parade. Trey Johnson with his steeplechase outfit that he had at the draft, which is a great, great fashion.
It's become quite a fashion show.
Oh, yeah. My God. Everybody else, 25-1 or longer. Why did you want to bring this up?
Well, we didn't go through the full odds, I really want to talk about Colts Week 1 starter more than this, actually. But just quickly wanted to lay this out. Like, I usually, if I bet Rookie of the Year, it's usually not till I see these guys in summer league action. So I would say, hey, let's wait, hit the pause button there before you go and bet any of these. I think, but I think this board is flawed a bit, Kill. Like, the Cooper Flagg number had come down. It opened at, like, minus 400, I believe I saw at DraftKings right after draft night. That was way too short. It coming back down, it's more and more realistic place. Dylan Harper, I think, is awesome. I think he's going to be awesome for that team. Man, the Spurs got a lot going with young players right now, though. Keep in mind, they've just won the past two Rookies of the Year awards, too. I don't know if that's really going to come into play, but just, you know, making notes on guys, right? We just talked about Ace Bailey, and I brought this up yesterday where Ace Bailey and Trey Johnson probably be the first looks for me. Well, let's make sure Ace Bailey gets to the team first before we go make a bet. I do think I'll be looking at guys like Trey Johnson, though, in this market. I just think that the scoring opportunities that he's going to have on a Wizards team that is looking to develop younger players. And, you know, I know they just got C.J. McCollum in there and stuff like that, but some of these teams have to be looking towards the future. And a guy that already had a very, very high usage rate in college and put up a lot of shots in college. Remember, you're looking for guys that score in this market. So that would be my first look.
Knepel and Fears at 40-1 don't interest you?
I think Fears would be my next consideration. Man, that Pelicans team's going to be a dumpster fire next year. It's going to be so fun to watch, but like their roster construction makes no sense whatsoever. He's interesting to me because I do think he'll be more involved. Khan's just tough, I think it's tough with LaMelo Ball. Like, it's kind of tough to trust what he's such a ball hog. Mm-hmm. Like, Con Knipple's got to be, I mean, he is going to be the 3-point shooter on that team. I think he's going to slide in to what that team wants him to do as a role player very well. But is he going to be putting up 15 a night for sure? I'm not sold on that yet.
You know, my sneakiest play is on there, Kasparis Yakushinas.
So I was going to bring him up. I don't know enough about his college game. He scored like 15 points a game last year. But yeah, for a Heat team that has openings,
great player. Okay.
I don't hate that one.
Let's go to the Indianapolis Colts specifically. The market of who is the quarterback that will take the first snap this year. First snap in week one for the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson, Kelly's guy, -130. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes, -106. Riley Leonard, a distant 80-1. Anthony Richardson, who was expected to be the next franchise quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts through two seasons. He has posted a 50.6% completion rate. That's it, 50.6%. That means that 49.4% of the time, the ball does not go where it's supposed to. 2,391 yards in two seasons, good for only 159.4 per game, 11 touchdowns, 13 picks. He's rushed for 42.3 yards a game, 10 touchdowns, but he's also lost four of a dozen fumbles, which brings him to 21 touchdowns and 17 turnovers as a pro. And health, obviously, the bugaboo. Daniel Jones, you ask, 64.1% completion rate, 208.3 yards per game career, 70 touchdowns, 47 picks in passing, while rushing for 31.1 yards per game, 15 touchdowns. He also, though, the fumble bugaboo, 28 lost fumbles. That brings him to a career total of 85 touchdowns with 75 turnovers. Adam Schefter from ESPN really wanted to emphasize yesterday that a lot of people in the league think Daniel Jones is a lot better than the average fan does.
Yeah, I feel like we've been hearing that for the past year or so.
But yesterday, he had to tell people, and it was sort of in this way that kind of was, oh, Daniel Jones is starting. That's how I felt about it.
Okay. I mean, look, we've talked to, what, two Colts fans in the past week that both think that way or want Daniel Jones.
JBT and Wes.
Yes.
Yes.
That, I was really hoping you were going to ask me who the second one was because I forgot it was Wes. Yeah.
I think it was Wes.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely Wes. And it sounds like they're leaning towards him starting or wanting him to start. I'm going to ask you, Gil, because you know I have my bias. I'm going to ask you one thing. Have you feel like you've seen enough of Daniel Jones to have an opinion on him going forward?
Yes.
Do you feel the same about Anthony Richardson?
Yes.
I don't think so at all. Yeah, that's where I think you're crazy.
Well, the reason
he's only played 15 games. You got to give the kid another look.
Well, you're right. That wasn't the way I would have answered that. The way I would have answered it is he only played one meaningful season in college. Why wouldn't you sit him a little while longer? Why thrust him into this? Let Daniel Jones start and then bring in AR once Daniel Jones inevitably peters out. Fezzik, next!
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik in the chair, Kelly behind the glass for now. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Buddhist man, I'm currently scouring sportsbooks to see if they're offering Arias Ace Bailey to be the 2030 MVP of the Turkish Super League at 5,000-1 or better. Hey, man, he might have a shot there. A lot of shaving response, Stevie. Jeffrey R. at LL Wave Rider. He says, try liquid soap instead of shaving cream. I'm a cue ball, so I've got some experience. How about that? And then this is from SN Wright, Stephen Enright. I got my shaving advice from Kramer. I use butter. And then, James Sott says, bro, got me a few years ago a mirror that hangs in the shower that doesn't fog up. Game changer. Oh, that's an interesting one. And then Off in the Dark. Sorry if I missed this today. Turn in late. Is the Wimbledon podcast available to listen to live versus waiting until the recording? Thanks and have a good weekend. Everybody back there, are we doing it live on YouTube? The Wimbledon podcast? Twitter? Anything? Yes, I'm being told yes. Which one? YouTube TV? Yes. YouTube TV. YouTube TV live for the Wimbledon podcast coming up in 45 minutes. Okay, let's recap all the best bets before we get back to Stevie here. I still have my, by the way, the Detroit Tigers 16-1 is a loser for the month of June. I have yet to make my July bet yet in Major League Baseball's most wins market, and I have yet to make, because they just came out here right before the show or during the show, quarter bets at Wimbledon. So I will have those for VSiN subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. Kelly, Hawks to win the Eastern Conference 55-1. In the National Basketball Association, and he's got the Bills' most regular season wins at plus 450. He added those this week. By the way, I added Ketel Marte 90 to win for NL MVP this week as well. Steve Fezzik's best bets. He gave out two baseball plays today. Cardinals, Guardians under 8.5. Mariners, Rangers under 7.5. Stevie's on a baseball heater, 55-19, I believe he said, in his last 74 plays. And the Pirates under 66.5 wins. And I've seen Steve's apps and these bets just cascade down your account. You've bet this multiple times.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm violating the Kelly criterion, but you know what? I've already mentally cashed my Pirates preflop under 77 and under 74. So it's like those have already won.
Many violations of the Kelly criterion on that. Jordan Sherwood's best bets for UFC 317. Ilya Topuria by knockout at minus 175. Then he's got the Topuria knockout, pardon me, with a Pandoja straight-up win parlay. So Topuria knockout, Pandoja win parlay pays about plus 123, always shop around. Brandon Royval is a slight dog in the fight right before those two final ones at plus 105. And then the final of the prelims, Jack Hermanson at plus 180, the big dog from Jordan today in UFC 317. And then Paul Carr, not to be outdone with some soccer, both with the FIFA Club World Cup and the Gold Cup. Gold Cup plays Mexico, Saudi Arabia under 2.5 goals in that game, and like Dallin Cuff yesterday, Panama to win the Gold Cup at 8-1. As far as the FIFA Club World Cup, he's got Flamengo to advance plus 235 versus Bayern Munich. That is your VSiN best bets of the day, brought to you by the official bank of VSiN, GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Gil Alexander, Steve Fezzik in the house, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. By the way, follow at your own peril. He's not the same on Twitter as he is in real life. Not a very nice human being on Twitter. Why can't you help yourself, Stevie? Why?
I've been better and better.
Have you?
I have. Okay. So, you know, being complimentary of everyone. But what a great group we had lunch with this week.
Oh, I brought it up yesterday. Jim Feist's group.
Yes. Nicest guys.
Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds from VSiN were there. Steve Fezzik was there. Bill Krakenberger. Scott Spreitzer was there. Brandy McKay. I met Jeff Whitelaw for the first time after all these years. Just really awesome to be there. Everybody who was lucky enough to be on Jim Feist's show this year.
I put Al on my VIP list.
Al DeMarco at Dom DeMarco's Pizza.
Yeah, so I went ahead and put Albert on my VIP list, and so now the I'm so nervous because he hasn't been on my list. So the first 2 days have gone great with the plays I've given him. So I text him. I was like, it's not always this easy.
It's not sustainable at this level. All right. Teasers. Teasers in general and then NFL teasers. What say you, sir?
All right. So teaser basic strategy. And you hear this all the time and people get it wrong still. But teasers are dead in Vegas. Can no longer play teasers, any sport. There's always exceptions to the rule, but there's these in general.
Been for a little while now, right?
Yeah. So what happened is that it used to be you could play selectively at minus 100. Then it was minus 110. Some people would call minus 100 even money, by the way. Then minus 115, minus 120. But now every single place in town is minus 125 or higher. And frankly, I stopped paying attention because you just the way the math works out, you just can't win. So no more good advantage teasers in all of Las Vegas, the sports betting capital of the world.
Anything over minus 120, don't do it.
Forget about it.
Okay.
So minus 120, still viable, still offered at several books, including DraftKings. So
okay. I think the broader advice for new bettors or newish bettors has to do with teasers in general. Beyond that, don't, if it's not the NFL, don't tease, period.
Don't tease, period. And there's always the exception to the rule where some book deals, some college game, you know, like minus 8, minus 125 on a low total, and that would be teasable. But in general, don't tease anything else.
Don't tease anything else. And by the way, beyond the math of that, intuitively, you can kind of get that too, right? Because you know that scoring in college football is much more volatile than it is in the NFL. You know that scoring in the NBA is much more random than it is in the NFL. So the value of each point is that much less.
And
so
you don't even get 6 points in NBA. They give
Correct.
You 4 points. So it's even right. so it's even worse. But the good news is there's still books like DraftKings that you can play at minus 120. And then the Wong basic strategy, Stanford Wong, wrote a book, Sharp Sports Betting. And, of course, you're going to tease through the three, through the seven in the NFL. So you take a 2-point dog up to +8, or you take a home favorite -8 down to -2. Now, what a lot of people are doing now, they're saying like a 7-point favorite is a Wong teaser, or a 7.5-point road favorite is a Wong teaser.
No.
Both a road favorite cannot be used as a teaser because they just don't win as often as the home favorites.
And I'm just anticipating what some listeners would think right now. Some people would shout back at you, what about totals? Are there, you ever tease totals?
No. There are a few people that swear by preseason low totals where
yes.
they'll take an extra, not 6 points, but 10 points. And tease that 32
'cause it
to
gets
over
so
22.
Low, it's ridiculous.
And what happens is basically, even if the offenses can't play a lick, the defense then will get you a
right.
defensive score, which will be just enough to get you to 16 to 10 in the preseason.
We've done that on this show
yes.
before. By the way, the Wong teasers are subject to the total, though, right?
Yeah. No, but they're better. The lower the teaser,
the better they are.
So if you have a marginal teaser, think about playing it or not, and the total is 51, maybe pass 41, go for it.
Okay. Last thing you wanted to talk about here. Gouging in Vegas. You had something to say about that?
I was in New York City. New York is cheaper to eat than Las Vegas on the Strip. I was shocked by this. I went to gourmet restaurants in New York. I went in, you know, mom and pop places. And in general, the restaurants that go to Vegas and the drinks especially are more expensive in Vegas than anywhere else. Like, think about the pools when you go in Vegas. Like, how much, you know, a strawberry daiquiri is going to run you, you know, $35 in Las Vegas. But I think the gouging is going to slow because if I judge things by the offers I'm getting, because I'm, you know, I'm in the system and the like, and maybe I haven't played at a place for a couple of years, and here it comes in the mail, and oh, we're going to give you a, you know, $20 free bet or $50 free bet once a week and the like, and I'm getting more of those offers than I've gotten in years. And I think that means Vegas is slowing and they're trying to do things.
That is absolutely the barometer for trying to figure that out. It has to be. And you believe this started at the Super Bowl? Because we got some data that said, oh, the Super Bowl wasn't down. But we know from being here, something was amiss. And I feel
exactly.
like that's when that was the point where folks were like, okay, I can just stay home. We can have a good time with friends. We don't have to spend all this money having the Vegas experience. And that's the only way they're going to learn.
When we hosted the Super Bowl, the gouging got so out of control. It's like that Fonzie moment, jumping the shark.
In
Happy Days, where basically that's where the show went downhill. And that's where the gouging just got out of control, was when Vegas hosted the Super Bowl.
Good jumping the shark knowledge by you, by Origin. Well done. Happy Days. Steve Fezzik, ladies and gentlemen, again, at Fezzik Sports. Follow at your peril. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Gilly.
Money Moves is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting network.